Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Gregory Stories, the radio show about the life and times of Gregory Girard, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. Your host is Gregory Girard, a.k.a. G-Money, the self-proclaimed pimp comic, and the teacher from the streets. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Girard. You can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, and leave a comment. If you're an artist with original music or lyrics, just send your press kit to Gregory at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. On today's show, Gregory tells more stories from his life and takes calls from his listening audience. To listen in or join the conversation, go to blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Girard or call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. And now, here's your host, Gregory Girard.
What's up, Las Vegas? How's everybody doing today? Are you feeling good? I'm feeling fine. The weather is beautiful in Las Vegas. I'm telling you, if you came to Vegas for a vacation, this would be the perfect time to be here because it's less than 75 degrees and the weather is beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's a very light breeze that's blowing through the air and the sun is shining. It's not hot, though, but the sun is shining and the weather is just fine. This is the perfect vacation spot for you to come and enjoy your summer, at least the last days of summer, even though this isn't summertime. This is the fall, and then it'll soon be the winter, and it will get cold, and in Vegas, it gets cold. Yeah, let me tell you, I was out on the street in Vegas for a couple of years. I was homeless, and I slept on the street in Vegas. But I wasn't on the street, really. I had a bunch of girls that I would stay with every now and then just to get off the street, you know? I had girlfriends that let me stay in their house with them because they thought we were going to be an item, you know, how girls think. They always think that we're going to get together and we're going to be a perfect match. And all I wanted to do was come inside and get out the cold and get something to eat. I couldn't understand why they really thought we were going to be a perfect match. Because those girls didn't really have what I needed. I needed money, and I needed a job, and I needed to have food. And all they did was take care of my lounging expenses and my food. But everything else, they didn't have nothing like I needed. So they weren't my perfect match. Even though they kind of thought they were really trying to get on my good side and try to do everything I needed them to do. But that was a joke on them, because as soon as I got tired of them, I left. I left and I went someplace else where I could be comfortable and I could get money and I could have a good time and eat good food. And a lot of my girlfriends had kids, so I was like Uncle G to all of these girls and to their kids. And so it was fun for me. I had a ball, even though their mothers were thinking that I was going to be the one. They thought I was going to be the perfect man. I was laughing at that idea. I'm the perfect man. I'm already perfect. I don't need to be the perfect man for you. I'm already perfect. I kept telling them, hey, I got it going on. I'm perfect already. So what you need to do is get yourself together, and then maybe we can hang out. You know, I told them that. We could hang out. But I only meant part-time. I wasn't looking for no full-time hangout person. So they were just in the wrong direction while they were trying to do the right thing. So I didn't mind. I gave them some false hope. But, you know, that's what I do. I give them false hope and hope that they get better. Hope that they turn their life around and do the right thing. After all, they were having babies by all these different men, and they thought I was going to come in and be daddy. No, I was Uncle G. And that's all I was concerned with. I was just Uncle G. And I would be there for a while. And just like your uncle, he leaves when he's finished. When he's through with the babysitting, he's gone. And that's how I did it. I up and left when the babysitting time was over with and the playtime was done. Then I left. Because the only thing left is to do is housework. And I wasn't doing no housework because I wasn't living in the house. So I left. And that was the end of their dreams. Because I just busted the bubble and said, I'm sorry, ladies, I got to go. I'm G Money and I'm on the move. I got to go. And I left. And I ended up going back to L.A. where I was living, and I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Yeah, I was living in L.A., and I had gotten a job at the Marriott Hotel, and I worked there for 6 long weeks. And I was really doing everything I was supposed to do. I thought I was. But I kind of got in a little trouble. I was flirting with some white girls. And, you know, me being black, it didn't go good with the management. They didn't like the fact that I was flirting with the workers. But I was just telling the lady, hey, we need to be able to hang out. And she was like, no, I can't come back to the property. And I'm like, well, that's fine. You don't have to come back to the property. I'll meet you across the street in the parking lot of the mall. And then you can take me around the city and show me what's happening. Because, see, I had never been to Newport Beach before. And so I was in Newport Beach in a fabulous fly Marriott hotel. I mean, it was the top of the line. And I was there training to be an accountant. I was a senior accountant. So I was in training. And I had gone there, and every day after work, I'd go into the restaurant and eat. And I was flirting with the girl in the restaurant. And she went and told her boyfriend, who just happened to be the manager of the Marriott, which I didn't know. He was the manager of the restaurant. So he went and told my boss that I was stalking his girlfriend. And I wasn't really stalking her. I would just see her when we went to dinner, and I would be talking to her. Real nice, like, you know, hey, baby, you looking good, girl. You know, we need to get together and hang out, don't you think? I mean, you looking good, and I'm looking good. We need to hang out together so we can look good together. And besides, I don't know the city. So if you pick me up and take me around the city, then I can learn all the hot spots in Newport Beach. I mean, you live here. I don't live here. So take me out. Show me the town. And she kept saying, no, I can't do that because I can't come back to the hotel after I get off work. And I'm like, fine. I know the rules. I work here, too. So what we'll do is we'll meet across the street. And she said, well, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, come on, girl. You know, you can come pick me up across the street. You don't even have to come back to the hotel. Just meet me across the street in the mall parking lot. And then we'll go, and you can show me the town. You know, take me to some clubs. Take me to some restaurants, some bars, you know, so I can see what the people are like in this city. I mean, I know this is an all-white city, but, you know, I ain't prejudiced. I can hang out with you, and you can hang out with me. And you'll learn about me, and I'll learn about you, and we'll hang out with white people. What do you think? You think that's all right? I think that'll be fine. So why don't we do that? And she kept saying, no, I can't do it. I won't do it. No. And I'm like, oh, girl, come on. Stop tripping. Just come on and hang out with me. Pick me up one night. So after I got off dinner that night, I walked around the pool because, see, I was living on the property. So I didn't have no place to go. I didn't have nobody to visit or nothing. So I was just walking around the property, checking it out, because it was a fly hotel. I mean, the Marriott Hotel in Newport Beach is fly. It's like being in, like in Hollywood. I mean, it was a fly hotel. It was top of the line, 5 stars all the way across. So I thought it would be good to hang out. And I was living in the hotel. I had a hotel room, but I was by myself. So I was walking around just looking at the property. And I walked out by the pool. And when I walked out to the pool, I was at the pool, and I was walking around the pool, and it was outdoors. And it was really nice weather, and they had candles out by the pool. And it was really nice. It looked kind of Hawaiian style, the way they had the candles lit by the pool and everything. It was really nice. And I happened to look up at the building, and I saw the restaurant that I had eaten dinner in. And the waitress that had served me, that I was asking to meet me at the end of the night and take me out and show me the city, she was up there cleaning tables. So I looked up and I saw her and I waved. And she looked at me and saw me and she waved back. And then I kept on about my business. I didn't think any more about her. But she thought I was hanging out at the hotel waiting for her. And so she told her boyfriend. And he went and told the manager, and the manager went and told the accounting, the hotel accountant, and he came and told me I had to leave the property. When I got off work that day, that was going to be my last day. And I said, what's happening? What are you doing? And he said, you've been stalking one of our workers, and my worker is scared to come to work because you're messing with her. And I said, oh, that's drama. I'm not messing with anybody. I'm just talking to the girls that are serving me dinner. That's all. I ain't harassing nobody. But they made a big issue about it. And the next thing I know, I got kicked off of the property. I had to pack all my clothes and everything and get at the foot of the stairs of the building on the street. And I had to sit there and wait for my ride to come. They wouldn't even let me back on the property. I thought that was really cruel. So when I went back to the hotel in Torrance, of course my boss heard about the situation. And he told me, man, you're causing me problems. And I'm like, no, sir, I'm not causing you problems. They're just tripping because I'm a black man and I was talking with a white girl. And, you know, black and white have issues. And that's all it was. So they decided that I was a problem and they sent me home. So I talked to him. He was a black man and he understood the situation. So he said, okay. So I went back to work. But we had a supervisor between me and my boss, and it was a white guy. And he didn't like me at all, because, see, I had all the girls. They all went to school with me during the summer when we were training for that Marriott job. I worked with all of the girls in training, so I knew all the girls that were hired at the hotel. So when lunchtime came, instead of people coming into the accounting room to get my white boss to take him to lunch, they would come and get this black man and take me free to lunch. And all these white girls would come and get me and take me to lunch. And he would be so mad. And I couldn't see that he was getting jealous, but he was. He was thinking I was stealing his power, his thunder. So he ended up lying on me and said that I was on the phone all the time, which I wasn't, because I had been a stockbroker before I came to the Marriott. And I had learned that you can't talk on the phone during business hours if you're not conducting business. So I wasn't on the phone because I didn't have anybody to talk to during the daytime anyway. All my friends were working. All right, it's time for a commercial break. So, Donald, play a song and then drop the spot.
What you find, yeah. I think I love you.
are listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then let Gregory Gerard make you famous. Just send your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, Las Vegas. I was back at the Marriott Hotel in Torrance, and I had a manager that was jealous of me. He was a white boy, but I wasn't really concerned about him because I was doing my job. I was doing what I was hired to do, and I was good at my job. My job meant I was in charge of all of the workers in my office except him. And if somebody in the office had a problem, they brought the problem to me, and I'd fix the problem. That was my job, the chain of command. I was at the top of the chain, except for my assistant controller and the controller that was the big boss. Those were the only two people that were higher than I was in my accounting office. So I handled all the problems. But at the time, I didn't realize that the manager or my assistant controller was getting upset with me. He was jealous because I was going to lunch with all the girls. And all the girls were coming after work, and they were asking me if I wanted to go to the bar and have some drinks. And they were coming to me and asking me things that they wanted to know about me. They were all interested in what I was doing with my life. And I was socializing with them, but we really didn't have nothing really to talk about. But he was mad. He was getting upset at the fact that I had all of these friends. See, I had gone to school with everybody during the summer, during the training program. And I had met everybody during the training program, and they were all friends of mine. So I was talking to him as a respectable person would do. I was socializing with him as a nice person would do. And I was maintaining my friendship as a good person would do. And I found out that one day I got on the phone to call my girlfriend to find out what we were going to do that night because it was a Friday night. And I wanted her to make plans for us to, whatever we were going to do, to go out. So I was talking to her on the phone. Now, this is the only phone call I made in 6 weeks working at that hotel. And everybody else in my office was talking to their mothers and their sisters and their boyfriends. And I was not even tripping on the fact that they were on the phone talking to a lot of people because we wasn't really open for business yet. We were just running dummy accounts and saying, what do you do if this happens? And what do you do if this problem arises? So we were checking all of our checks, you know, to make sure that we had all our points in check. When we came up with the problem, we wanted to be able to fix the problem. So we were going through all of these checks, and I was able to handle all the problems that came up. And my workers were able to handle all of the problems that came up. So it was all right. And I was on the phone talking to my girlfriend one day, and then my assistant controller comes to me, and he wants me to move some furniture. Well, first off, I'm a senior accountant. I don't move furniture. That's not my in my job description. So I tell him, I said, man, move some furniture. You got to be kidding me. You need to contact the engineers in the engineering department or call somebody in maintenance department because they are the movers and call them up and move this furniture that you want to move. I don't move furniture. I'm an accountant. I count money. That's all I do. And he said, oh, okay. Well, that's all right. You don't need to move the furniture. So I felt like I could sense some anger in my assistant manager. And I wasn't trying to be on anybody's bad side. So I got off the phone with my girlfriend. I told her, baby, I'll call you back. And I jumped off the phone and went into the assistant controller's office. I said, all right, man, what do you want to move? You want me to move some furniture? I'll help you move some furniture. What do you want to move? And he turns around and says, oh, that's all right. I don't need you to move any furniture. And I'm like, you sure? Because you sounded like you were pretty serious. And he says, no, that's all right. I don't need you to move the furniture. Go back to what you're doing. And I go, okay. And I go back to my desk, and I call my girlfriend back up on the phone, and we finish our conversation. So now everybody is working, and our operator, the hotel operator, she comes into the office, and she's selling candy for her kids at school. So she comes in and asks anybody in the office if they want to buy some candy. Well, all of the ladies in my office buy a bar of candy, and I buy two bars. And we give her the money and say, okay, we'll pick up the candy tomorrow. And she says, yes, I'll bring the candy to work, and you can come to my office and pick it up tomorrow. So at the end of that day, I leave work, and I go home. And the next day I show up, and I'm told by the ladies in the office that the candy has arrived, and they want me to go pick it up. Well, I'm the only one in the office that has free realm of the hotel. It means I can walk all over the hotel and not be out of my area because my job is to count all the registers in the hotel. So that means I'm counting all the registers in the bars, and we have three bars, and I'm counting the register at all of the restaurants, and we got three restaurants, and I'm counting all the registers at the front desk, and we got like seven registers at the front desk. So I'm counting all the registers. So I'm free to walk through the hotel and do what I do. So while I'm out, I stop at the PBX operator, the operator, and I ask her for the candy. And she says, well, I'm interviewing the operator. So after I finish the interview, then I'll come get you and I'll bring you your candy. And I say, okay, I'll be waiting in the cafeteria for you. And she says, all right, because her office is right next to the cafeteria. So I go to the cafeteria, and I'm in the cafeteria eating. And I'm like, well, I might as well get something to eat since I'm waiting for this lady. I'm in the cafeteria with all this food. I might as well get me some snacks. So I put some food together, and I'm eating the food. All right, it's time for another commercial break, and then we'll get back to my story. All right, Donald, play a song and then drop the commercial spot. We'll be right back.
are listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then let Gregory Gerard make you famous. Just send your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, Las Vegas. I was sitting in the lunchroom in the hotel eating a snack while I was waiting on the PBX operator, the supervisor, to come in and bring me the candy. And while I was sitting in there, my wife assistant controller walked into work because he shows up 30 minutes after I do. And I had just got to work, but I had gone to check on the candy, so I was waiting for the PBX operator to deliver the candy. And I was sitting in the cafeteria, and while I was in there, I was eating a snack. And my supervisor, my white administrator, the assistant controller, came in to work. And he walked by the door and saw me sitting in the cafeteria eating some food. And he went on about his business. He went back to the office, but he didn't ask anybody in the office why I was down in the cafeteria. Because if he had asked somebody, everybody in the office would have been able to tell him I went down to the PBX operator. And I was waiting on the candy to bring back up to give everybody the candy they bought. But he didn't ask anybody. He just took it upon himself to realize that I was screwing off, and I wasn't. But when the big boss came in, the black controller came in, he went and told on me. And he said that I wasn't doing my job and that I had been talking on the phone all the time. And he made up all of these fabulous lies. And the black controller called me in the office when I came back from bringing all the candy and stuff. And he said, I need to talk to you, Gerard. And I go, yeah, what's up, boss? He says, man, you acted so professional around me all the time. I really can't believe you're a major fuck-up. And I said, a major fuck-up? Wow, such language. What are you talking about, sir? I haven't done anything wrong. I've been acting perfectly good. Every time you see me, I'm doing my job. So what's the problem? He said, well, I got word that you were down in the lunchroom screwing around. And I said, no, sir, I wasn't down there screwing around. I was down there waiting on the PBX operator to give us the candy that we bought from her son or daughter from school. And I went down to pick the candy up. And everybody in the office knows I went down to pick the candy up. So all you have to do is ask people in the office what I was doing, and they'll tell you he went down to pick up the candy. But see, our assistant controller, the white boy, didn't know all this, and he didn't come up and ask anybody what the problem was. He just made up on himself that he was going to come and tell you, and that's what happened. That's what he's talking about. I wasn't screwing up. I was doing my job. And I was sitting in there eating a snack because I was waiting on the PBX operator to come in and talk to me. So my boss said, well, you're causing problems in our office, and I got to be able to take the word of my assistant controller. So since you're causing a problem, I guess I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, let me go? Wait a minute. You were going to put me in a training program so that I could be a controller just like you. So how are you going to let me go because of something a white boy told you? Come on. He was tripping. He's wrong. And you can ask anybody in the office tomorrow when they come to work, ask them where I was, and they'll all tell you. He said, well, no, I'm not going to spend the time to do that. I'm just going to terminate you today. And he sent me down to personnel, and I got terminated. So I left the building, and I was pissed off. And I went to this strip club that was down the block from the hotel. And I went into the strip club, and I rolled the joint, and I went into the bathroom and was smoking the joint. And I had put the weed out on the sink, and somebody came into the bathroom, and I thought it might have been security, or it might have been the management of the strip club, and I didn't want them to kick me out because I still had drinks on my table. So I put all the paper towels over the weed and stuff, and the guy came in, and he said, are you in here smoking weed? And I'm like, are you the manager? Are you the security here? And he said, no, I'm just a customer. I'm like, well, fuck you then. I'm smoking weed. I got fired from my job today, and I'm pissed off. So what do you want to say about that? And he said, wow, why are you smoking weed? Weed smells so bad. I said, well, that's the way weed is. You know, I can't change that. So what's up? What you want to talk to me about? He said, well, you really shouldn't be smoking any weed because weed is real strong and people can tell you're smoking. So here, try some of this. And he gave me an envelope and put a straw in it. And he said, put that in your nose and inhale it. And I put it in my nose and I inhaled it. And I said, whoa, what is that? He said, that's cocaine. Now, put it in your other nose because you got to even out both of your nostrils. And I put my finger over my nostril and put the straw in my other nostril, and I inhaled it. And I said, whoa, wow, that's a trip. And he said, ain't that better than smoking weed? And I'm like, well, I don't know if it's better than smoking weed, but it's a lot different. So I went out, and we went and sat at the table, and we tipped the dancers at the strip club some money, and we bought some more drinks. He bought me like 3 or 4 drinks, so I was drinking with the man that gave me the dope. And we were kicking it, and then afterwards we left, and we went to another club, and he broke out a bunch of cocaine and put lines on the table. And people were snorting up the lines. And that's the first time I ever seen anybody do lines. So I was, like, really surprised. I was like, oh, that's how you do it. And they were coming and snorting up lines, and everybody was happy. And I was like, wow, okay. So then we stood there for a while, and we had some drinks, and we socialized. And then we left and went to another club. And my buddy was at the other club, and he told me that, you know, he was surprised to see me. And I told him, yeah, man, I'll get with you. Hold on. It's time for another commercial break. So Donald dropped the spot, played the song, and then dropped the spot. And I'll be back to tell you the end of the story.
Would y'all please give a big welcome to Miss Cece Peniston! Hey! Come on! What? Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Come on! Everybody we can be like family and be real close. Come on.
Listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then let Gregory Gerard make you famous. Just send your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at bigmouthgvg@juno.com. That's bigmouthgvg@juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, Las Vegas. I was at a nightclub with a white guy that had provided me with a pocket full of cocaine. He gave me an envelope with a straw full of cocaine. and every club we went to that night, he was laying out lines on the table for all the girls in the club to come snort lines. And he was very generous as he was serving up all the cocaine to everybody. But this was my first experience dealing with anybody with any drugs, because I wasn't a drug person. I was an athlete, and I was looking forward to playing pro baseball. So I was just trying to maintain my good nature. But he had given me something, and I really kind of liked it that day. And my buddy came to me and said, "You look really crazy doing that." And I had to catch myself. I was like, "Oh, my God, I'm really doing cocaine. I really am not used to doing cocaine, but I'm doing it anyway." So I had to catch myself and stop with the use of the cocaine. So we went to his house, and he re-upped. He picked out a big package and opened it up, and it had a brick of cocaine. And he cut it open and poured some cocaine and some things, and he put it in some envelopes, and he carried it out with him. And he asked me if I wanted to refill my package. And I was like, "Nope, that's all right. I'm cool. I'm cool." Because my buddy was looking at me real crazy. He was like, "Gregory, I know you ain't going to do no more of that cocaine." And I'm like, "No, man, I ain't going to do no more. I don't know what got into me, because you know I don't do cocaine." So he was like, "Okay." So we left, and we went to another bar. But while we were at the bar, I wasn't watching the white guy. I don't know what he did. He might have went in and made a couple of deals. He might have made some drug deals while we were at the bar. But I don't know. I was at the bar drinking, talking to the girls. So I wasn't really paying attention to what the white guy was doing. And then afterwards he came and he told us he was leaving and he had some things to do. And I said, "All right, man, good looking out. Thank you for the powder that you gave me. I appreciate that. And maybe one day I'll see you and I'll be able to pay the favor back," knowing that I probably wouldn't ever have any cocaine to give him in exchange for the cocaine he gave me. But I was being courteous. I said, "Well, maybe I'll pay you back." But I didn't think I would. And to this day, I've never seen the man again. So that's the end of my story. That's how it goes when you meet a dope man. And if you got one that's real generous and he likes you, then he can take care of you. But that was all a dream. Yep, it was just like a big dream. I didn't plan on it to happen. And I can't really believe that it actually happened the way it did. But that was the way it went down, honest to God. That's a true story. And that's how I got my first taste of powdered cocaine. Ta-da! Yep, that was my first taste of cocaine. And then about 25 years later, I moved to Las Vegas, and oh my God, I've told you the stories about the cocaine parties we had in Gregoryville. So I'm not going to get into that. That was the time of my life that I was doing some dumb stuff, but that's the way it goes. All right, well, it's time for me to say goodbye. Thank you for listening to my show. And I hope you enjoyed this story, because it was a real interesting one for me. It took me back, way back in time, to when I was just a peon trying to make it in the white-collar world, trying to be a businessman. And I was doing all the right things, except I had to watch out for the people that were jealous of me, trying to knock me down from climbing the corporate ladder. And that's the way you got to watch out, people, because there's always somebody who wants to get your spot. So you got to watch your back and be the best you can be. So anyway, remember, I broadcast on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 o'clock. And Friday, we concentrate on the homeless situation in Las Vegas and all over the country and all around the world. So listen, as we have guests calling in and telling us about how we can handle the homeless with the food situation and how we can talk to the congressmen and the people running for office and how we can tell them we want to stop throwing away food in Vegas and give the food to the homeless agency so they can give the food to the homeless. All right. That's the last thing I got to say today. I'll talk to you later. I'm G Money, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter, and I'm out of here. Peace. Good night.
Thank you for joining Gregory Girard on Blog Talk Radio. Gregory Stories is live on the air every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Las Vegas time. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Girard, where you can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, leave a comment, and find him on social media. If you're a talented artist with original music, send your press kit and a sample of your original music to Gregory at bigmouthgvg@juno.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, contact Gregory at bigmouthgvg@juno.com. Gregory Stories is produced by Big Nasty Records, a subsidiary of Big Nasty Promotions, LLC.